Well, that's actually a pretty small. I mean, it's like a normal size prostate. 20 to 30 is normal. 30 to 40 is about the beginning of BPH. 40 up to 60 is moderate BPH. And 60 is the limit that natural treatments will actually work with BPH for the most part. 60 and higher, you're looking at a much larger area. And for the record, I've seen prostates the highest was a famous Hollywood celebrity, actually. He got the prostate award, 522. Right? So that they go pretty big. But 29, so you're asking about prostatitis. Well, first off, that's it's a loaded question because, it's not loaded, but the diagnosis of prostatitis in many ways is a loaded diagnosis because it could mean an infection, inflammation comes in different packages. So I'll rattle off a bunch of things, not just that may apply to you, but for the audience as well. Anything causes inflammation. It could be stress. You know, if you went through a massive stress issue, bankruptcy, divorce, death in the family, it could be from an autoimmune disease. Dr. Sherman, I check ANAs now on all of my patients as a general screen now. I've caught a number of guys with autoimmune problems they didn't even know they had. And when it spikes, it cycles, the PSA goes with it. If you have diabetes, if your sugar level is not regulated, if you're not tight control, the sugar level goes up, the PSA goes with it because sugar is inflammatory in the artery.
And it drives the estrogen up too.
Absolutely.
Well, my PSA was really low. I mean, when you looked at it, you said you couldn't believe it was that low, but it was pretty low.
Right. So
anyway.
Yeah, so it could be a number of things. And, of course, activity levels. And I go through the whole list. Activities that would be, aside from for sex issues, but also for the activities, all the toys, speedboats, wave runners, quads, jet skis. You have horses,
wow.
bikes at the gym. If people do heavy machinery, jackhammers, tractors, if you're a private pilot, do a lot of international flying, all of those things can get in the way and cause prostatitis.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for your question, Ray.
Hey, Dr. Sherman, you talked about bergamot last week for blood pressure. What if somebody wanted to start with that, how many would they take a day?
Oh, it's pretty safe supplement. I would do maybe two twice a day and see if you can get your blood pressure down.
And what milligrams do they usually come in?
Oh, I can't remember that. It must be 100
to 200. Like if you sell it at the home dispensary?
Yes. Yeah, we have it in the dispensary.
So if they have a bottle there, I can take two twice a day. Okay,
exactly.
Thanks a lot,
yeah.
Both of you.
Yep, thanks for your call. And we're going to be needing to wrap up here soon, but I did want to ask you, Dr. Tamburi, what criteria you use to determine if natural therapies are even working for a patient, and when do you know when to throw in the towel and just go with conventional treatment?
Excellent. Because many times patients are asking, well, what should I take? But often the real question is, how do you know that they're working? Especially when guys see me and they tell me they don't trust the PSA. But then when they take salt palmetto and the PSA goes down, they get all happy about it, right? So you have to ask, what are we really using? Here's the general criteria. If you're getting close to this limit, like as I say, getting close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, how close to the edge can you get before we pull the ripcord, right? So here's the general criteria. A is if your PSA is over 10, then we start to look at that. If your percent-free PSA is under 10%, that's a test we didn't talk about today, but that's one. Three, if your PSA is quickly going 2-3 points per year for 2-3 years in a row, then I'm looking at that. Also, your PSA density. If your density is over 0.15, I flag it. If it's at 0.3 or close to it, that's when we're talking, surgeries or we start going to the next level. A very key test for all of you that'll be listening, ask your doctor to run a PAP test. And for you ladies out there, it's not the one that you're thinking, okay? It's a blood test called the prostatic acid phosphatase. This is the old PSA test, actually, but they still use it to help rule in or rule out when a cancer is kind of growing legs, about to get out of the gland. So that's pretty much what I use. And I will tell you, the pearl that I'll leave you with here is the two main things that I look at, if I had to really say, would be the PAP score and the PSA density. If that PAP score gets close to being positive and or that PSA density starts rising close to 0.3, then that's when I start to take real attention to this case. And one last part is on your biopsy or an ultrasound Doppler or an MRI is if the cancer, I don't care how big it is, but if it's in the middle of the prostate, that's good. If it's at the edge of the prostate, as long as it's at the capsule and not bulging, I can live with that as long as there's not a lot of blood flow going to that. We can tell that on color Doppler. And as long as your numbers are stable. But if the cancer, no matter what the Gleason is, I don't care. But if the cancer is bulging out, remember, cancer can only kill you if it gets out. If it's bulging out and the density is bad and the pap is looking bad and your PSA keeps going up, that's when we start to get look at maybe pulling the ripcord.
Great information. Okay. So if a guy has been diagnosed and he's, you know, trying to decide on what kind of conventional treatment, HIFU, CyberKnife, proton beam, what do you usually recommend there? What's your favorite?
Okay. So there's two general categories. There's radicals and retentions. Radicals are the Da Vinci, the robot, when people remove the prostate. The advantage is that you get all of the cancer, at least in theory. That's another story. But in theory, the best way to get it all. The downside is you're removing the prostate, so you have the highest side effects. Retention treatments are everything that you were just mentioning. These are all treatments where you retain the prostate. You destroy it from within you. You nuke it, freeze it, fry it. They're very creative. But in essence, you're keeping the prostate in you, hence the nerves, and hopefully you have less side effects. Of that list, I'll be honest with you, Dr. Sherman, I've gone to prostate cancer support groups and talked to men afterwards. There is not really a clear consensus of which one does the best job. They all really are fighting about which one has the highest resolution. Probably the top two that I like that have the highest resolution would be CyberKnife, which is in California, Phoenix. There's a few places around the country. CyberKnife is used, and also the proton beam. Not getting political, but, of course, it became famous around here. Senator John McCain with his brain tumor, they just opened a new proton beam center right here in the Mayo, and I think you have one up there in Seattle now. And proton beam and CyberKnife are used for children's brain tumors. And if you think about it, if you're going to be looking at children's brain tumors, it shows you the resolution that they can do. Now, this doesn't mean that it's the end-all, because overall, I have patients that will do HIFU and other procedures, IMRT and others. And it's kind of a wash, really, about is one really better or not. The thing you have to look at is how much experience does the doctor have, and what kind of what they call fiduciaries, which are the little probes or seeds they put in your prostate to track it. Because when you breathe up and down as you're lying in the machine, just that breathing or moving can throw off the machine. So a lot of it is really not the machine as much as the tracking, so it stays on target and reduces that any nerve damage or collateral damage.
So informative. Thank you so much. We've only got about a minute left, Dr. Tenbury. One last question. I have patients who are looking into the UroLift procedure for BPH, I'm just wondering what your view is on that.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to end on. So I was fascinated with UroLift. The last few years, there's been new ideas with BPH surgeries, including one called the PAE, prostatic arterial embolization technique. So that's another time to talk about. I like that one. UroLift was exciting because you're taking these staples, like a staple gun, and you're pulling back each lobe of the prostate to open up the prostate, the gland so you can pee. The advantage is that you're not rotarootering it, so you're not destroying the nice soft tissue in between. The problem.
I'm so sorry. I have to interrupt here. We're going to have to end the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Tenbury. Thank you very much, and thanks for all your calls.
You're welcome. Thank you.